Good morning, everyone. We come together as people called by God. The psalmist says in Psalm 95, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, and the great kings above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." Going to join together now in the praise of God as we sing together from Psalm number 19. Join together in prayer, and as we do so, let us stand together. Let us pray. Oh God, we come this day as a people who are called by you to worship you. We give you our praise, and we hear your life-giving word as we come before you. We come in prayer, coming before you, a God who hears his people. We come knowing that you are the great God, the great King above all gods, the one in whom holds all things, the one in whom he ordains all things to come to pass. And this day we worship you for who you are and all that you have done. for your continued providential care of us. But Lord, once more, the stark reality of how this life is far from how we would want it or desire it to be. We face more restrictions, another lockdown. All of it is just a reminder of the fall, how all mankind by the fall lost communion with you and are under the wrath and curse. We face all the miseries of this life, even death itself. But yet we come, and as we confess our sin and our need for you, as we are confronted with the fallenness of this world once more, we know that you did not leave mankind to perish in this state of sin and misery. But you, out of your mere good pleasure, from all eternity, did send your Son, our Redeemer, so that we may know salvation, that we may become your children. And as we come this day, help us to feast on your word. Revive our souls through it, and that our hearts may be lifted up, and that we may be rejoicing this day, and that we may be led in ways of righteousness. For we know that your word is more desirable than gold, sweeter than honey. So, Lord, help us. Work amongst us by your word and spirit. And that, Lord God, that we may know more of you this day. As we pray that the words of my wife and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to join together to read God's word. We're going to continue on in John 1, or 1 John chapter 2. Last week we thought of how this was the last hour in verses 18 to 21. And now we think and are reminded of how the truth matters from 1 John chapter 2, verse 22 to 27. The truth matters. They were given a warning of the denial of Christ, a reminder to remain in God's truth, and we have all that we need. We're going to read here from verse 18 to 27, even though we'll only be focusing on verse 22 to 27. I'm going to read from God's word. 1 John chapter 2, this is God's word. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he has promised to us, even eternal life. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. You do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Amen. We thank God for his word. We can trust all that it says. We're all prone to be deceived by others, aren't we? Either when someone lies by commission or lying by omission. Think about it. We all, when we lie by commission, we're purposely deceiving someone, leading them up the garden path, if you will. So after 30 years of marriage, you tell your husband that it doesn't annoy you that he leaves the sink a mess every time after he shaves. Well, then that's a blatant lie, isn't it? It might be done for a commendable reason, but it's still a lie. Commission. And then there's omission. You know, whenever fellas, you're on their way home from work and you stop at the chippy because you know what's coming for dinner. And you say whenever you get home that you're not really that hungry because you had a late lunch and you'll get something later. And you fail to mention that you had your fish and chips while driving in the car sitting on your lap. That's omission. But there's another way that we're deceived. It's called paltering. It's when people use factual statements to mislead others. They're told the truth, but they did so in a manipulative way. There are many people today that seek to deceive the church. They do it by lying, by omission, commission, and even paltering. What's most striking is that the ease in which individuals are deceived. And what it boils down to, and what it comes to, is often that we're not grounded in the Word of God. We have a lack of life in the Holy Spirit. We have no theological depth. And what we rely on is how we feel, rather than what we know to be true. But here in this passage, we're reminded of the truth that matters. We see those who deny Christ and the warning of the denial of Christ in verse 22 to 23. We're reminded to remain in God's truth, and we are told that we have all we need in verse 26 to 27. So here in this passage, John continues as he turns his attention to those who are seeking to deceive. They are those who deny Christ. Deny Christ. This is in contrast to what he is doing. He is telling them of the truth of Christ. He's trying to counteract what they are hearing, what they are being taught by the Antichrist. He makes the point here, who is the liar? If I started a sermon, I wonder, who is the liar? You would all be sitting in fear what would come next out of my mouth. But John here, if you see, he asks in verse 22, who is the liar? And how does he say, what does he say? Who is this liar? The one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. There are those who do not believe the truth of what the Bible teaches. They are heretics. They are at odds with what the Bible teaches. They do not believe in the reality of the incarnation. They deny the Son of God. They deny the truth. They deny that he died to save us from our sin. You know, there's a reason for those who have been coming to the evening service that we've been going through the shorter catechism, why we've been using it to guide our thoughts, because it examines what the scripture teaches. You might have likely thought on different nights, why are we doing this? And there are other nights you've probably thought, that's actually quite interesting. But there's a reason why we go through it. There's a reason why we need a solid grounding in the Word of God, because we need it to protect ourselves from those who deny Christ, those who are antichrists, those who are trying to deceive us and lead us astray. But look at what John's focus is here. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. His focus isn't on all the things that they're doing right, what they taught positively. They may have been making a massive difference in their community. They may have been the all-singing, all-dancing church down the road. But what John makes clear is that the truth matters. What is more important than whatever they're doing is what they deny to be true. They deny that Jesus is the Christ. And what is more is that John makes clear that such a man is the Antichrist. You know, we might think to ourselves that John was being a wee bit extreme. After all, we can think of many churches who do great works, don't they? Many acts of civil righteousness. They make such a difference to people's lives. Why then does it really matter whatever they say? So what if their theology's a wee bit messed up? Now, many of us have friends, including myself, which we would differ on important matters of theology. Is it really that important? Is John egging it a wee bit too much? After all, Jesus would have never said anything like that, would he? Well, if you want, you can turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 8, where Jesus rebukes Peter for what he said, and he says, "Get behind me, Satan." Why? Because the truth matters. The truth of the gospel is so important for all of us. To deny that Jesus is the Christ, any dot and tittle of the word of God is the error. It's a denial of Christ. And for a person who denies Christ, in verse 23, he makes it clear that they have no relationship, no share of God the Father. You know, it's a striking truth that comes from John. Anyone who thinks that they have God and they have salvation without believing in Jesus, they are sadly mistaken. For it's only through the Son that they can know the Father. It is only through the Son and his substitutionary atonement for them that they have access to the Father. To deny Jesus as the Son is to deny not only the gospel, but to reject it. Look what it says here. 23, whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. What does it mean by acknowledge? We acknowledge people whenever we're out for a dander, don't we? You know, we see someone, all right, I did it this morning on the way down. Lovely day. Is that what it means here by acknowledge? That we acknowledge the Son by just the mere, all right, lovely day. Of course not. Rather, the word here that's translated as acknowledge is not just acknowledging that someone exists. Rather, it means a public confession of what you acknowledge to be true. It's a sense of confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord with your mouth, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead so that you can be saved. For through it is the heart that one believes and is justified. We confess it, acknowledge it. Have you done that this day? Have you confessed that Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life? Have you acknowledged the Son in the way that he demands to be acknowledged? Or are you simply playing lip service to him? It's not just a mere intellectual agreement. A mere, well, I believe that Jesus existed. It is a confession, an acknowledgement with our lives, making him the core of who we are. And for those who acknowledge him, who give their confession, then it's seen in their lives and how they live and what they do. You see, there are two options for all of us here this day. We either accept or deny, confess or reject. What man is prepared to confess with his lips he believes in his heart, whatever the cost that it involves? Because John here wants his readers to know and understand that it matters, their confession of faith, for without it, they can be swayed by all the nonsense that's being spouted by false teachers. Today, as we gather, what we know and understand to be true makes a difference. It's so important. Because like in every age, in this age, the spirit of the Antichrist is at work. There are now many Antichrists who seek to diminish the church and the truth of the gospel. They have substituted the truth with lies. They've turned from what the Bible teaches. And we've seen this all the more come to a head whenever congregations and denominations have turned from sexual morality of God's word. We now see churches clearly and how they have erred. You know, whenever we moved to the manse, we had a lot of visitors. It was great in January and February to have so many of you in our homes. And whenever we opened the manse and And to see so many of you calling in and have a wee yarn and people I wasn't even expected who arrived. It was great. There were so many also from the community who came to check out your new minister. There was one in particular that arrived and I invited him in and we had a wee yarn sitting in the front room. And he said it was great to finally see a church with a young minister around here who would move the church into the 21st century. And whenever I asked him what he meant, he conveyed how the church really needed to make itself relevant and not focus on all the things of the past. It needed to move with the time, reflect modern values. In response, I simply asked the question, what if the Word of God teaches something different to what society believes? I thought I was asking a respectful question. I thought it was a simple question. But it was a question that was quite clearly not what he wanted to hear. The conversation ended and he simply excused himself. See, there's so many out there in this age and in this world who simply want us to set the Word of God at one side and get on with helping people. But the truth is so important for all of us. First and foremost, above all things, we need to acknowledge Jesus as the Christ. And as our society slowly shifts in this last hour, as this world is perishing, we need to hold on to the Word of God. Because that's what John teaches us in verse 24 to 25. He teaches us to remain in God's truth. You know, over the past few weeks, there's been lots of news stories. What's been the big one? What's been the good news story that's had markets rally and lots of people positive? It's the news of a vaccine. But what does a vaccine do? It produces or it stimulates the production of antibodies in your body. It helps give you immunity. And we have great hope at the minute that there's going to be one in the new year that's going to fix all of our problems, that will prove effective for COVID-19. But here in these verses, John is giving us the news of a vaccine that we need in all that we face. And it is the truth of the gospel, to remain in God's truth. See it in verse 24. See what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. Remains in you. It is the Word of God, what we have heard, that which was from the beginning, the good news of the gospel that we need to hold on to as a church. This is the message. The light of God revealed through Christ Jesus, the good news for all of us, the Word of God. You see, this teaching runs through all the pastoral epistles. All of them encourage us to remember what we have been taught. Hold fast to it. Don't let it go. It's the truth. It's sound doctrine. We are to listen to the Word of God and Christ and let it dwell richly within us. This is what we need to do. Let's pause for a moment. Some of you here will remember whenever trainers or sneakers or sports shoes, and you can give me a wee nod to make sure I'm on the right line, were only worn by people who were playing sports. Isn't that the case? You'd have only wear somebody walking down to the shop wearing proper shoes. You'd have never seen it in a million years while you thought wearing a pair of trainers to go and get a pint of milk. What about the platform heel or bell bottoms or leggings or shoulder pads? Remember shoulder pads, ladies? You know, those things have come and gone and they've come back again, some of them. Trends in fashion, which should have been left in the past. What about the ice bucket challenge? Do you remember it? That was 2014. Or how about Gangnam Style? You remember it? Some of you will be wondering what those things are, and you're better just leaving it there. But what about the furniture in our home? Remember when it was all G-Plan furniture? Whenever that was all that was in, you know, if you've got any, keep it. It's worth a pound or two at the minute. What about mahogany furniture? Most charity shops won't even take it anymore. But why? Why do I mention this? Because we can see in our society and in our lives, there are trends that come and go. There are trends that move. But yet, whenever it comes to the church, we're not immune to these things, are we? We're not immune to the trends that happen out there. The thing is that what matters above all those things is the Word of God. It doesn't matter whether or not we have the organ or the piano or a guitar, even if that matters hugely to you. What matters is the Word of God. John wants us to know that there are things that don't matter so much, but there are things that do matter. And what matters is the Word of God for all of us. John doesn't want us to see what the church down the road are doing. He wants us to see and look to the Word of God in all that we do. And how do we do that? We do it by not following the trends or the fashions or the innovations that seem to be making such a difference down there. We need instead to always look to the Word of God. The truth matters so much. And we need to look to it. Because we see in the book of Acts, as the early church, what did they do? Well, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. See, as John here in verse 24 encourages the believers, he's encouraging them to remain in what they're doing, to stand firm, to devote themselves to these things. See, what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. And look what he says. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. If it remains in you. How often do we forget that? Whenever we don't devote ourselves to the Word of God, but yet instead we're to remain in the Son, making sure his word remains in us. John draws our mind back to what he just says. He says that if we remain in the Son, we'll have the Father also. If we confess the Son, we have the Father also. Boys and girls, I want you to ask you a question. All right, are we all listening? How do we learn things? Any ideas? We've got a few hands up. Right, well, we'll start over here. How do we learn things? Go to school, that's right, yep. Do your homework by people teaching you things, yep. By reading books. Well, I'll start with a simple one. How do we learn people's names? I've got an easy solution. We learn people's names by remembering them, but we use them. So you all know my name is Alan. How do you remember my name is Alan? Because you'll keep using it, won't you? Yeah, my name's Alan. We use people's names. That's how we remember them. What about our spellings? How do we remember our spellings? By practicing them over and over and over again. That's right. Anybody else got anyone? Keep writing them out. That's it. We learn our spellings by practicing. How many of us went to school and hated doing those big lists of copying them out again and using them and using them again? And what about math? It's the same thing, boys and girls, isn't it? You practicing them. How many of us learned our timetables here by practicing them? 1 times 1 is 1 times 2 is 1 times 3 is. See, we all learn those things by practicing them. You see, all of these things, boys and girls, take work. We have to work on them. Sometimes it's easier and sometimes it's harder. But John wants us to know that there's something really important that we all must do, that we must remain in the truth. Sometimes it'll be easy. Sometimes it'll be hard. Sometimes people will tell us that it's a load of rubbish, but we need to remain in the truth of God's word. And how do we do that, boys and girls? By practicing it, by remembering it, by reading it, by living in it, by hearing it preached so that we don't forget. We need to continually call it to mind. Those verses that we all learnt, We need to continually study the Word of God, boys and girls, for it to remain in us. And when the Word of God remains in us, we'll remain in the Son and the Father. And look what we're told here in verse 25. And if we do this, we have eternal life. This is the hope of all believers, that if we remain in God, then we will have eternal life. But his promises are not like my promises, because I make promises and I fail to keep my word. And we've all faced doing things like that, haven't we? And we face the consequences of others making promises to us but not keeping them. But yet this is the word of God, and the promise here that he has promised us even eternal life is true for the believer. We have eternal life. And we're reminded then in verse 26 to 27 that we have all that we need. John returns now to what he's just said. There are those that are trying to lead you astray. Those that are trying to lead you, give you nonsense. But you have all that you need. Look at verse 27. As for you, the anointing you received remains in you. Jesus warned of false teachers. He warned of all things that were going to happen, but he promised us the gift of the Spirit. Here the anointing speaks of how God has worked in us by his word and Spirit. He's given us everything that we need, so that whatever we face, we may be in no doubt that we have everything. So if there's another lockdown that lasts months and months and months, if we can't meet together, then we still have everything that we need by the work of God within us and his Spirit working inside us. We're called together to worship him, but when we can't, God will still work in us. And this is the protection that we have against those who speak of untruths, those who tell us lies, those who deceive us. But also John says here that we have no need to teach you. You have no need for any teachers. Does that mean I'm redundant? Well, John wouldn't have written the letter if he meant that we didn't need to be taught. Rather, he's encouraging them in whatever they face, whatever lies ahead of each and every one of us this day, that we can be confident that we have everything that we need by the Word of God and the Spirit of God working within us. There's no gospel plus. There's no do this and do that along with everything else. It is simply by the Word of God working in our lives, working inside us, giving us the power that we need. He restores us, gives us all that we need, and conforms us more and more into the image of Christ. See, in all that we face, as the church doors will be closed next week, as there are many who will try to lead us astray, as there are many who are opposed to the gospel in this age, what we need is to remain in Christ, to trust his word, and know by it his Spirit will work in us, giving us all that we need in a world that is facing its last hour, in a world that is perishing. Amen. Let's stand together to pray. Heavenly Father, today we come knowing that the clock ticks, that the time is running out, that there is much opposition to the gospel. But yet, as we've been reminded of how the truth matters, the way we've been warned of those who deny Christ, we've been reminded to remain in the gospel and how that we have all that we need. We thank you and praise you for how that we have the word of God, that we can come before you in that truth, and that we have salvation not by what we have done, but through Jesus Christ. And if we acknowledge him, then we have you also. Father, we pray that you would work in us by your word and Spirit. Help us to have such confidence before you and the promise of eternal life, not through what we have done, but through what you have done. And Lord, as we're greeted with the news once more of further restrictions, we give you thanks that you are at work by your providence. Your almighty and everywhere present power, where you, by your hand, upholds and governs the heaven and earth and all creatures. That every single thing does not happen by chance, but by your fatherly hand. And this pandemic reminds us that it is all part of your purposes. And even though that we can't see why, we can't see how, even though we may struggle in the midst of it, we pray that you may help us to know your providential care in adversity, thankful in prosperity, that in all things that befall us, we place our trust in you, our faithful God, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love. Heavenly Father, for those who are struggling at this time, those who are suffering, those who have had accidents and facing illness, we pray that you may bring hope where there's hopelessness, healing as if it is your will, and that you may use all of us here to love and support our brothers and sisters in this place, devoting ourselves to you and be concerned with our neighbor as ourself, that it may be seen in how we love one another. The love of you may be seen in all of our lives. Father, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to join together to sing our closing hymn, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. Until we meet again, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.